The Smithsonian Institution, the world's largest museum, education, and research complex, and a powerful draw for visitors like Talisha Batia.
There's the Indian Museum, the African American Museum, all the Smithsonians. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's also the latest target of the Trump administration and the focus of an executive order that aims to remove what the administration considers anti-American ideology. Certain narratives on the country's racial history, part of the executive order reads, quote, "Over the past decade, Americans have witnessed a concerted and widespread effort to rewrite our nation's history, replacing objective facts with a distorted narrative driven by ideology rather than truth." The order also seeks to remove recognition of the achievements of trans women in the American Women's History Museum.
I feel like that's overstepping their boundaries of what the government, because it should be open and equal to everybody.
The executive order specifically mentions the Smithsonian American Art Museum, as well as the National Museum for African American History and Culture, for having divisive race-centered ideology. But some say this is an attempt to erase history.
It really hurts. Your generation, because your history is who you are.
Yeah, but the history that they're presenting is not our history. Sandy Rios with you. Let me give you an idea. The American Art Museum currently features an exhibit that purports to address how sculpture has been a powerful tool in promoting scientific racism. And it also claims that the United States has, quote, used race to establish and maintain systems of power, privilege, and disenfranchisement. That's the American Art Museum, isn't it? Wouldn't it be fun to go see art at the American Art Museum? But this is what you would read. This is what your children read. This is what people all over the world read. The Smithsonian is the world's largest museum. It's an education and research complex. If you've been in D.C., you know it's along, for the most part, along the mall that, and one end is the White House, and then the other end is the Lincoln Memorial. It was funded, by the way, by funds from a British scientist named James Smithson. The Smithsonian is a public trust created by an act of Congress in 1846. But it operates independently as a quasi-governmental organization. Anyway, it's interesting. We're going to get into why this matters. And I'll tell you why I personally am so excited about what President Trump has done. And we'll talk about that in just a second. You know, according to a recent study, as many as 20% of women who undergo chemical abortions suffer complications. That's really nothing new. That's been happening for years, but now it's chemical abortion. Abortion just hurts women no matter what. If it's a traditional method of suction or whatever they do, it's harmful. It's physically, it's like against nature to have someone kill a baby inside of your womb. And so there are complications from it. There are a shocking number of deaths right now from this abortion pill, and the Biden administration loosened restrictions by not requiring the National Institute for Health to report injuries caused by this pill. This is what we're fighting, and this is what we're trying to stop. And so preborn is right in the middle of this. In fact, they have a treatment that's kind of counters the abortion pill, and it is two pills, as I've described it before. It counters that. Now, it depends on how far along you are. Some women are coming into preborn clinics carrying their babies, and it's too late, but they're so upset. This is what's happening. This is what we're doing to our women. This is how we show how much we honor women, right? We put them through this. Our young girls, and they can't even complain. It's so politically incorrect to be against these abortion pills and also abortion itself. It is tragic. And we have to stop it. And that's what preborn is trying to do. And of course, the way they do that is through a really beautiful way. And that's showing those moms, catching them early so that they can see those babies inside. And they won't make that decision to take that dreaded pill or to go to some person who's going to take the baby's life inside of them in a brutal way. And it is always brutal. You are taking a life. You have to dismember and kill. It's as simple as that. We have to stop it. So preborn is in the business of doing that, and they are so effective, and they're effective because of your support. It's $28 for one ultrasound, $28. And if you'd like to help, of course, you can give more than $28. You can give $2,800, whatever you can afford, wherever God has placed you and however he has blessed you. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, this is Sandy Rios, by the way, on Sandy Rios 24/7. We'd love to hear from you. Just call us at 662-821-2040. There's a way and an instruction on how to leave a message, which we listen to. And if we can, we'll use it on the air, well, on the podcast. It's really too bad that we can't interact. I really miss that about live radio. We used to open the phone lines and they'd just be filled and we get all kinds of comments and arguments and sometimes funny things. And I miss that. But this is a way of doing that. It's a little secondhand, but it still works. So go to 662-821-2040 and leave a message for us, good or bad, but just don't be profane because then we can't use that one. Okay. So be nice, even if you disagree. We are available on any social media platform. We're also available to listen on any podcast platform. Sandy Rios 24/7 is at AFR.net. And that's, of course, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. That's our home base. But you can go to Spotify or Apple or Amazon, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And by the way, if you haven't listened to a podcast and it seems like an obstacle to you, it's really quite simple. I promise, if I can do this, you can do it. And if you want, I think one of the simplest ways is just simply go to sandyrios.com. Sandyrios.com, and they're posted every single day. It's easy. So we've given you lots of ways to do it, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. We appreciate you listening. It's an honor to us for each and every time you listen to us. Well, today we're going to have a discussion with my friend Hans von Spakovsky. Only this time we're going to talk about history. Hans loves history. And he and I share that. And so he's written an article recently about something he experienced. And that was a springboard to me taking on and appreciating what President Trump has done with his executive order. It's great stuff. Don't go away and listen to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
And Trump signed an executive order yesterday to get rid of certain ideology from the Smithsonian. The president's order focused on, quote, restoring truth and sanity to American history by revitalizing key cultural institutions and reversing the spread of divisive ideology. The order directs Vice President J.D. Vance to eliminate improper, divisive, or anti-American ideology from the Smithsonian and its museum, education, and research centers, along with the National Zoo.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Well, let me just say that for, I can't remember how long as I can remember, when my son was younger, I visited lots of museums in Washington, D.C. and have gotten angry almost every single time. This is a very big deal. President Trump has just issued a proclamation to change all of this, to try to bring back what is our true history. And we're going to talk about that today. And the thing that triggered this conversation was an article that says the left has no respect for God, country, or history, including Patrick Henry. And it's written by my good friend Hans von Spakovsky. And of course, usually he's talking about elections or legal issues because he is the senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation and the manager of their election law reform initiative. But today we're going to talk about something that we both love, and that is American history. And so Hans, thanks for joining me.
Sandy, thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start by talking about what you the subject of your article. I just really like the history of it. First, you write about this. This is what I miss about being in D.C., to be honest with you. This is a commemoration of the anniversary of Patrick Henry, famous for saying, give me liberty or give me death, his speech at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. And you went to that celebration or commemoration. So tell us about Patrick Henry and what happened there.
Sure. It's really something because the second Virginia convention was held in the St. Thomas Church. It's still there. It's still a functioning church. This was March 23rd, 1775, and they held it in Richmond at this church because it was far enough away from Williamsburg, then the colonial capital, so that if the British governor and British troops found out about it, they wouldn't be able to get to Richmond in time to arrest everyone who was there. But remember, the British monarchy had put in the Stamp Acts, all kinds of things. They had embargoed Boston because of the Tea Party there, and this was a meeting of prominent Virginians to decide what should they do. And besides Patrick Henry, George Washington was there, Thomas Jefferson. And one of the things that Patrick Henry stood up and said is, I am putting forward a resolution that we should form an armed militia so that Virginians can defend themselves against British troops. And that's what led to his very, very famous speech. And on March 23rd, I was down in Richmond. I was in the church because they were doing a recreation of it. And it was as if the audience members were the delegates to the convention.
Oh,
and Thomas Jefferson was there, George Washington, other prominent Virginians, and Patrick Henry got up and gave his speech. It was great.
Were you dressed in colonial outfits as though you were the delegates, or did you wear your regular clothes? And the governor was there, too, right? Governor of Virginia was there.
No, all the speakers were in a colonial costume. I have to admit I was not, although I was wearing a coat and tie. And because it was the 250th anniversary of the day when he did this, they started off with two well-known speakers, the first being the governor of the state, Glenn Youngkin, and the second being Ken Burns, the documentary filmmaker. And they actually did a great job setting up the history of this. And the whole event, there were, if you can believe this, protesters outside the church and on the church grounds trying to basically disrupt the event. And who were they? Agitators against Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump wasn't there. There was no current partisan politics going on there. We're simply celebrating a great American patriot, and yet they were there with their, well, as I call them, moronic signs. Actually, one of the signs said, America is now being ruled by morons. And the only morons I saw there were the ones holding the signs, including, by the way, Sandy, a guy who had an anti-gun sign. Now, he wouldn't be there, be able to protest if Virginians hadn't eventually armed themselves to resist the British monarchy and troops. I mean, talk about somebody who really was not very smart.
Well, Hans, I think that one of the things that I want us to be able to make the point, and you just started it for sure, is that in the vacuum of knowing real American history, people have become morons. We can't really blame it on them. It's our education system. And part of that is the whole Smithsonian museum system and even the way things are celebrated. You know, I could talk forever, Hans, but I would just say when before Bruce and I left living in D.C., it was the 200th anniversary. That can't be right. I don't know. It was a big anniversary of the Civil War, and we were really looking forward to commemorations. Bruce is a big history buff himself. And that was during the Obama years, and there was almost nothing. It's like they squelched everything. And it was very hard, painful, sad for us. And so I have been on a crusade, at least in my own mind, to reverse this for a long time, because our population does not know their rich, incredible history. And they're told constantly that America should be ashamed of themselves, that we vow it's white privilege and white men domination and harsh treatment of people of color. That, I mean, there was some, but it's a twisting. It's a lack of emphasis. Anyway, before we leave this bit of history that you enjoyed in that church, you have just a short paragraph about that first battle, and you, how can I get you to remember what I'm talking about without saying it for you? The first battles were not done from the Americans by trained soldiers. We did not fight with trained soldiers. Can you just address how it started out and how we started fighting and who was doing that fighting?
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people don't realize Patrick Henry's resolution was voted down, even though Jefferson and Washington supported it. I mean, he said, look, we're already at war, but others didn't agree. And in fact, 19 days later, the shot heard round the world. 70 farmers and tradesmen opposed 700 British regulars who had gone out to Lexington and Concord to confiscate the arsenal and the guns that Americans were trying to store up for this. 70 ordinary, everyday Americans. And that was the real start of the Revolutionary War.
And I think, too, if it's possible to make it simple, it isn't. It is the most incredible story. In fact, I shared with you, I just finished the book, The Glorious Cause, The American Revolution, 1763 to 1789, which reminded me of what I learned in history, at least in part, and that our revolution in itself was a remarkable, really, I think, act of God, in that these just plain men, very smart, brilliant men, but not soldiers, took on the most powerful empire in the world on the sea and on the land and defeated them. Yeah. So,
The British Army was considered the best trained, most experienced army in the world. Everyone thought it was crazy that we would take them on.
And it was. It was crazy. But these. But the thing, you know, one thing that I, in like whether it's Alexis de Tocqueville, the French historian, or whether it's the author of this book, The Glorious Cause, they all, those that are closer, I think, the accurate history, talk about the, the spirit of America. And it was not that every person was, thumping their Bible or, you know, but most of them were, I have to say. And the passion that came for that revolution that united Americans who were before that not really united was a spiritual and God-driven sense that they had a destiny, and it was to establish a nation uncommon that would establish freedom, a totally different system of government than had ever been in place on the earth before. So they acknowledge, the historians acknowledge the role of God in all of this. So anything else about that article or that day? Because then I want to move on to President Trump's recent orders about removing the fake history in Smithsonian institutes and returning it to true American history.
Just that it was a spine-tingling event. I mean, it was just something. Oh, and by the way, at the end of it, all the delegates got to vote on Patrick Henry's resolution, which was the audience, including me and my wife and my nephew. And this time, Patrick Henry's resolution passed with no dissenting votes.
So you're rewriting history in your own way. But hey, I want to quote you. You include a quote in your article. By the way, the article is available at the Daily Signal. Hans and I are done talking, but I want you to know it's excellent. The left has no respect for God, country, or history, including Patrick Henry. You include also a quote from Henry at the end of his oration, where he said, "The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave. And Hans, that includes us today, does it not? That includes us today.
It's ordinary Americans who are fighting back all over the country against everything from wokeism to cancel culture to the people trying to propagandize our kids.
All right. President Trump, just as the Net News report, the short one we just played, has now signed an executive order specifically directed at the Smithsonian Institute, also directed to national parks. He's taking this on. And I, honestly, Hans, I can't tell you how happy I am. But let me ask you this. You're a longtime D.C. resident, and I lived there a long time, too, but not as long as you. I'm assuming you might have gone to a museum or some of our historical areas and had a little moment where you were upset about what you saw. Is that true? Did you ever have that moment?
Yes. Yes. Look, I came to Washington now almost 25 years ago. And I had young kids at the time, and we went to every single museum in Washington, D.C., including the American History Museum. And I will tell you, I've quit going because I saw over the years as the displays changed and the descriptions and wording changed, and the entire Smithsonian Museum was totally infected by the wokeism of the left, rewriting American history to fit their views. And, you know, the executive order gives examples of this, and I think people looking at it would just go, this is in our museums in Washington, D.C.? I mean, it's all about institutional racism, what a horrible country America is, how we're racist and always will be. I mean, it's just one thing after another like that. The founding principles, individual liberty, et cetera, that is, you won't find that in Smithsonian museums anymore.
You know, Bruce and I were, when we were last in D.C., and I'm just blanking out about when that was because we come pretty often, but we decided, we always try to do something that we didn't get to do while we were living there. So we went to the National Archives, which we've both been to before, but it's been a long time. We wanted to see the Declaration of Independence, which we did. And it was as moving as it always is to me. I just love that. So in that same building, that beautiful building, is the Magna Carta, which is kind of the foundation in some ways of freedom, the man's deserving freedom. I can't begin to quote it, and you probably know can do that better than I. But what I'm the point I'm trying to make, as soon as we left that small display with the Magna Carta, which was good. I don't think that I didn't see anything wrong with the wording in that little tiny, maybe 6 foot wide display of the Magna Carta. But you moved to the left, and immediately, Hans, but America didn't live up to those things. America had slavery, so it goes into slavery. Then it goes into how women have been so badly treated. Then it goes into workers and labor unions, how badly. That's the rest of the display. That's the rest of the display on the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. If you go to the African-American History Museum, which is one of the relatively new ones, I bet you didn't realize, Sandy Rios, that the American cultural traits of hard work, individualism, the nuclear family, oh, no. That's not good. That is the negative aspects of white culture.
I'm glad that they give examples in this order because I was, you know, I know my own feelings and what I experienced. I know years ago when my son was, I don't think he was even married yet, so this would be 20-something years ago, we went to Mount Vernon, which I love. I love George Washington. I just love that. It's hard to explain, isn't it, Hans? It's almost like it's such a beautiful history that even the world has been astounded by our history. But our people don't know that the world has been astounded by our history. Nevertheless, I'm there and I'm looking. And the first thing they talk about in their tour guiding is maybe not the first thing, but the thing they emphasize is that he was a slave owner. He had slaves. Right. George Washington is not all you think he is. He had slaves. And I ended up getting in an argument, no surprise to you or to my son, with a tour guide because they were twisting the facts on that so much. It was very upsetting. And that was 20-plus years ago, Hans.
Right, right. Well, it's only gotten worse. I mean, it's gotten so bad. Like I told you, I've quit going to the Smithsonian Museums because it's just too upsetting to see the prop. It's basically it's propaganda. The museums are now full of propaganda and lies, and it's throughout the Smithsonian's museums, and you just cannot get away from it, and that is a real problem. And the president is, you know, he's issued an executive order. He's put J.D. Vance in charge of trying to clean this up. And look, Sandy, he's being criticized for this as if they're saying, oh, you just want to rewrite history. No, what we want is for history to be correctly displayed in these museums, because that is not what is happening right now.
You know, to illustrate your point, The Guardian has a headline that says, it reminds you of a fascist state as Smithsonian Institution braces for Trump's rewrite of U.S. history. I mean, it's laughable, but it's just infuriating because they have really, you know, I was waiting for that day when they were going to take a chisel and remove, you know, the scripture verses and great quotes on our national monuments. I really do think that would come if we let them continue down that path. I think that would be the next thing, don't you, Hans?
Oh, I don't think they'd just do that. I think they would like to remove the statues of people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and others, because they, according to the left, they were evil individuals, and American history and culture has been a poison to the world. I mean, that is literally the way they think.
Let me ask you a philosophical question, and can you explain to people listening why it's so important to have accurate history for any culture? Why does that matter? Because people die and they're gone, and you know the history books don't often reflect what's really true. So what difference does it make, Hans?
Let me give you a very specific example. We have a First Amendment, and that is probably the most important amendment in the entire Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It guarantees freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. Why is that in there? Well, all you have to do is look at what was going on during colonial times. Suppression of speech, suppression of and closing of newspapers, suppression of people being able to practice their religions, to understand why that was in there. And yet, what is happening today, Sandy? We have kids going through public schools, K through 12, and then college with restrictive speech codes. They are being taught that you cannot say anything that might offend someone else, that doesn't go in with what is politically accepted right now. Those kids, they don't know history. They don't know the importance of the First Amendment. They're being taught that restricting speech is, in fact, what you should do in their schools. What's going to happen when they graduate from college and they go into the business and corporate world? They go into government. They go into our institutions, and they start saying, the First Amendment, that's not important. In fact, the First Amendment is offensive. We need to restrict. We need to censor. That's what can happen, and that's how we can lose our freedoms and our liberties.
Well, and of course, the Second Amendment is the same thing, the right to bear arms, which is back, yes. Goes back to Patrick Henry. And, it's interesting, Hans, our grandchildren are in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they've been there they've never known anything else except Scotland. They were there for 4 years. So our grandson, who's 11, I guess now, 10, when he was 10, we're just having a discussion with him by phone, and he said, Grandma, can you tell me about why there's so many guns in America? Why do you have so many guns? And so Bruce and I were both on the line, and we launched into a history lesson with our grandson about why guns are so important to Americans, going back to our history, the Second Amendment, because from the perspective of Canadians and others looking in, I have good friends that are Scottish who just think we're out of our minds to emphasize so much the importance of bearing arms, having guns. I should say it that way. So, Hans, do you know of any other country in the world where guns are still the citizens really insist that they still have the need and the right to carry guns? I think of lots of places that traditionally did that, and it seems to me every single that I know of, every single country, that right has been taken away from people. I don't know of another country that still allows this. Do you? Western civilization?
No, I don't. You know, we got that tradition from England. You're now part of the United Kingdom, and the rules now in the United Kingdom are some of the most restrictive in the rules. Not only that, but, you know, we have long ingrained in our law the right to self-defense. They don't even have that in England anymore. You can be criminally prosecuted there if someone breaks into your house and you injure or kill them rather than retreating out of your house. That's how bad it has gotten. And that is a dangerous development, not only there, but elsewhere in the world.
I was thinking of Australia. Remember, they did a gun buyback years ago. Australia is like America. It's like it's got vast territories, cowboys, and huge cities, too. But they have that free spirit and that need to protect themselves because the country is so big. And I don't know where it stands now, but they managed to take the guns away from them at that time. Whether that's been restored or not, I don't know. But there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that, and that's that people want to control other people. And it's a kind of a poison spreading throughout the world. But that goes back to why we need to know our history and fight for those things,
right?
Don't you think?
Yep, that is exactly why. And, for example, most people don't realize this, but we didn't have restrictive gun control rules in this country until after the end of the American Civil War and Reconstruction. And where were they first put in? In southern states. And why were they put in? So that freed black slaves would not be able to defend themselves against the Ku Klux Klan and other organizations like that.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that. And now we have, fast forward now, we've got in the inner cities where there's a large concentration of poor black people, like in Chicago, which is our hometown, they've had so much trouble being able to get guns because they've made it unaffordable. They technically can have them, but it costs a ton of money to get them. And they need it. They're right there. Their children are being shot. It's going through they'll be watching television and shots will go through the wall. And it's really, it's interesting, Hans. I have to think through this more, but it just seems like where people cannot defend themselves, other freedoms are taken away as well.
No, that is exactly right. And that is why, look, there was a very famous dissent before the Supreme Court ruled the Second Amendment. There was a very famous dissent written by a federal judge in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out in California against a very restrictive California law. It is one of the most eloquent defenses of the Second Amendment I've ever heard by someone who experienced the Nazis and communism. And he basically goes through and talks about how important the Second Amendment is and how it is a last-ditch weapon of a free people against a tyranny and dictatorship. And once you lose it, you'll never be able to get it back.
Yep, and I think that's true. I mean, we see that everywhere. And the disdain for people that think they should have guns, that's amazing to me. I have friends that are Americans, but from, well, I'll just say from Scotland, who just think we are out of our minds, how uncivilized we are too. And I think the Brits feel that way about us too. Like we're cowboys, we're wild people. But anyway, that's just one aspect of our history that's been lost because of the lack of teaching. Now, President Trump is doing this other thing, Hans, which I am so excited about. And that is that he is calling for a huge commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the United States in 2026. I'm sure you've been watching that too. I just find that thrilling.
I do too, but what's most important is that he's now president and that a Democrat is not president when that takes place, because I can tell you that if a Democrat was president and Democrats were in control of that, we would not be celebrating the birth of America. We would be having ceremonies about how horrible we are, how terrible our history is, how we've mistreated so many individuals, and how ashamed we should be to be existing as a nation. That is what we would see.
You know, one of the next things that I don't know if it's maybe it's happened. He's signing so many proclamations that this could have happened, but by, you know, the Department of Education is basically gone and back to the States. And we all know that one of the huge problems that we have is that our kids are not learning history, and they haven't for decades. Their parents didn't learn it. The kids now are not learning it. So I'm hoping that one of the next moves will be to reinstate the history of America in public schools, the real history of America. Do you know anything about anything like that happening?
Well, look, part of what is going on with that is the president dismantling the U.S. Department of Education. And that is a first step in the right direction to put more control over curriculum matters in the hands of, hopefully, local parents. You know, it's a very complicated area, but the president, it looks like, is doing everything he can in this area. And that's why what he's doing at the Smithsonian, what he's doing at the Department of Education, what he's doing to chase DEI, not only out of the government, but out of schools, using the different titles of the Civil Rights Act. All of that taken together is something that can help, hopefully, rectify the problems in our public schools, including the problems with the way they teach history.
Yeah. You know what I'd also love to see? I think I should call the president and give him my suggestions. I'd love to see the new FBI, part of their training at Quantico, be American history. It'd have to be a survey, of course, but American history, the Constitution, same thing with the military. These guys don't have a clue. They need to know what they're fighting for. And I just think I just love to see that. And maybe it's going to happen. I'm excited. I am really excited and grateful to President Trump for what he's doing. He does love the country, like you love the country, Hans, and like I love the country.
Right.
And it's good for us to love our countries. It's not that whole xenophobic thing, just like there's some shame in loving your own country, but there is no shame. It's a good thing, not a bad. Well, Hans, thank you. And let me just remind all of you that Hans has written this great article, "The Left Has No Respect for God, Country, or History," including Patrick Henry. It's a great account of that celebration. It tells you more about Patrick Henry's history and more what happened on that occasion. So Hans von Spakovsky from Heritage Foundation. Thank you, Hans. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I got to tell you, you do such a great job. It's wonderful just listening to you, not even being a guest.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, Hans, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine, an ultrasound machine, in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I think this whole thing is a slippery slope. I question whether or not the executive order can accomplish what he wants. But it scares me that if anything happens to Trump, J.D. Vance is in charge, and he's in charge of this process. So,
and it's interesting, we're standing in front of the Museum of African American History as we do this talk. You know, where do we now take Oprah Winfrey's name off the theater?
Yes, it concerns me. Even in my time, the history, we didn't get a lot of teaching of history. And even now, I'm excited about what I learned. The 666, things like, I wasn't taught that. So I make a point of looking at that stuff on TV, reading on it, because I was not taught that, and which was, it really hurts your generations, because your history is who you are.
Like we're becoming Nazi Germany. It's heartbreaking. This is not who we thought we were, and it appears it's who we are. But I hope the people in Congress will stand up and keep them from doing this.
The history is here as long as people continue to tell the stories. African history, the history of slaves, was passed down from generation to generation to generation. The stories were told from grandparents to parents to children to grandchildren. They continue to be told today in a lot of communities. So the history doesn't go away as long as there are people to tell the stories and people to write the books.
Well, that's true, kind of. That's what people outside of the museums were saying. I find it interesting. Let me just say, the woman that referenced the Museum of African American History, which is the newest one, on the Mall, don't get me started on that. But I would just say that one of the comments about that is that it, in the museum, it proclaims that hard work, individualism, and the nuclear family are all aspects of white culture. So Black Americans, you know, you shouldn't work hard. You shouldn't you shouldn't stand out. You should be part of the group. And you shouldn't be so worried about having a mother, father, and children, the nuclear family, because that's white. That's white, so you don't want to do that. That's how sick this is. And by the way, one more. The American Women's History Museum celebrates male athletes participating in women's sports. The Women's History Museum. Does that give you an idea? Okay, that's Bruce to join me because we both love history and we share the rage at what they've done to our history. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Are you feeling some rage this morning?
I am. You know, this has been something that has been on Sandy's and my thoughts for a long time. Probably at least 15 years since we were living in Washington, D.C. and visited many of these museums. And we went there with the anticipation that we would really learn things and that they would be wonderful presentations. And instead, what you seemed to come face to face with was nothing more than what's wrong with America, white privilege,
Slave. Everything's about slavery.
Everything.
Not about the fact that we abolished slavery, but about slavery.
And see, that's the problem, is so many people in this country are ignorant as to what our history is. And so when they go to these museums, you wonder why your children feel the way they do? Go to these museums. It's all about what's wrong with America and never what's right. We have to embrace slavery as something that happened here. We should not run away from that. But at the same time, we have gone further than probably any civilization to eradicate slavery and try to make people equal in this country. Some people will disagree with that, but as far as I can see, we've really taken incredible strides to try to give everyone, as Barack Obama would say, a fair shake. And if you go to these museums, though, you will think there is no way that will ever happen because of the deeply ingrained racism and hatred that's inside American people.
Bruce, you remember, I love Abraham Lincoln, and I used to always bug you. I wanted to go see the old soldiers' home because Abraham Lincoln famously used to ride out in the summers on his horse because it was so hot in Washington, D.C. In fact, there's a story about him riding his horse through the woods on his way to the old soldiers' home, and someone took a shot at him, and it went right through his stovepipe hat and didn't harm him. Pretty miraculous. But he's on his way to the old soldiers' home. It talks about it a lot in stories about him, and I wanted to see that. You remember what happened when we went there, Bruce?
I do.
Do you remember? Your wife got angry, right? Do you remember anything
about
that?
Yes, my wife got angry. We had like a
my poor husband.
Very woke young lady who was our tour guide, and everything that came out of her mouth was nothing about Abraham Lincoln per se, but it was about slavery and how Lincoln really wasn't in favor of freeing the slaves.
Yeah, it was all about business and commerce.
It was only because so we could have better business that he finally relented on and tried to eliminate slavery. It was a real degradation of the memory of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Then we went to the bookstore, and that was the final coup d'etat, where every book in the bookstore was something woke. So I had a little trouble with that. But that's kind of the way it is in D.C. now. In fact, one other illustration, Bruce, Ford Theater. We used to go there for productions. They have, you know, that's where President Lincoln was shot, famously shot. The theater is still intact. It's very well maintained, the house where he was where he died, they carried him across the street, is still there, too. Many of you have been there and you've seen it. But now Ford Theater has gone woke. And instead of showing, Bruce and I, we saw some really fine plays and musicals in that theater. And now it's gay presentations. It's all kinds of degrading things in the Ford Theater. And the bookstore, the same thing. It's all woke. Well, so that, I don't know. I'm trying to paint a picture for all of you, in case you haven't been there, as to how bad this really is.
Well, here's the problem when people don't know their history, is, you know, there's nothing wrong with showing both sides of an issue. The problem is that these museums have gone so far the other way. They eliminate, really, the story, and they tell a story. They tell the story that the woke people want you to hear. And it is in direct contradiction to the facts. And so many people don't know enough about history that's really the only viewpoint they hear then when they go to these places. And I think that's why Donald Trump is doing this, is, you know, we have an incredible history. I think a history unlike almost any other country.
Any other country. It's the most unique. Yeah.
And it needs to be preserved. And while we can tell viewpoints from different opinions about history, we have to keep the facts straight. And really what we're getting at in this whole discussion is the facts are no longer being told. It's the woke version of what happened in history. Yeah. And it's all about shaming people and talking about how people were done wrong by this country, whether it be the Native Americans, the slaves,
the women,
the laborers. I mean, you pick a group, and there is a huge grievance going on in these museums.
You know, I just thought of an omission. When we went to see the Magna Carta and they were talking about all these aggrieved groups and how America had lost their way and really did not capture the whole essence of freedom, I was thinking there was nothing on the Irish. There's just nothing on the Irish, nothing on the Italians. They're the wrong color. But that's how bad it is. But this, let me just read this so people will understand. President Trump has signed an executive order restoring truth and sanity to American history by revitalizing key cultural institutions and reversing the spread of divisive ideology. President Trump aims to ensure that the Smithsonian is an institution that sparks children's imagination, celebrates American history and ingenuity, serves as a symbol to the world of American greatness, and makes America proud. So that's just an idea. This proclamation is really great. He's just got great people around him, and he really does believe this stuff.
Well, you referenced it earlier when we were living in Washington, D.C., and it was the 150th anniversary of the American Civil War. I was very excited because I've studied that conflict so many ways, and I thought, well, we're going to see recreations, we're going to see presentations, all kinds of things. There was nothing, and that was because Obama was president, and he did not want to, I think, celebrate that war was really about ending slavery. He loves to say that was not the purpose of that war. And he likes to denigrate Lincoln. And I think that's what we have to beware of here, is that so many people have been mischaracterized as to what they did in history. You know, we cannot deny that Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, many other of our patriots owned slaves. But that is a part of who they are. Their important work was getting this country liberated, founded, and secured. And the problem is, when you go to Mount Vernon, when you go to some of these places, Monticello, the first thing out of the guides' mouths are, these people were slaveholders. And that sets the tone for the rest of the day. And I have to tell you, if you're a black person and you hear that, that probably really taints you immediately. And I don't blame you. If that's the first thing that's being led with, then you think, well, that must be the major thing this person was a slave owner.
Yeah, and let me just give a little history on that, just because it sounds like it could be that people would think, well, you are so indoctrinated in what you were taught in American history that you don't know yourself, and you're not being honest with yourselves. I want to say that George Washington had slaves, not many, but he had some. But he married a woman who had this. She was the property owner, and these were her slaves. And when he died, he freed all of them. And so I think that's important to know. And I also think and Jefferson, not so much. Jefferson was one of the founding fathers who did not claim to be at least a Christian in the traditional sense of the word. And I honestly think it is because his life, his personal life, maybe wasn't what it should have been. I think he did sleep with his slaves and have children by them. Something was not off about Jefferson, but he also was a great man, his great intellect. He understood freedom. So what Bruce is saying is true. That's a partial story. George Washington, on the other hand, was a man who was a committed believer in Christ. And slavery was not viewed in those days. All nations had had slaves. All colors of people had had slaves. And so this was a learning curve. And when it came to the Constitutional Convention, slavery was a huge issue. They wanted to get rid of it, but they couldn't get these states that were so entrenched with it already, like South Carolina and others, to come around. And they felt that they would never be able to unite those 13 colonies if they didn't put that aside for that time. And of course, we lived to pay for it. We paid for it greatly. So it's, but that's really, at least in part, the story of slavery.
Well, I think on a positive note, we have so much to look forward to with this 250th anniversary. And I am so glad that Donald Trump will be the president, Lord willing, when this comes around, because he is going to make us proud again to be Americans. And that That doesn't mean wiping out anything negative against the United States about its history. That's not it at all. But it's also to remember there is so much good in American history. And I think that if people, you know, this woman that was on the tapes talking about that we're now becoming Nazi Germany, you know what? Go to the Holocaust Museum and then go look at America's founding and tell me we're Nazis. That's, I'm so sick of people saying we're Nazis. Donald Trump is bringing back pride in this nation. I think under Biden, you saw how our American psyche was really being damaged.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being pro-American. There's nothing wrong with thinking America first. We can include the rest of the world, but we are Americans.
Yeah,
and these museums need to reflect that.
Right. Bruce, just quickly, because we have to go here, but there's President Trump is doing this really special thing. Isn't there like a celebration in St. Louis for this 50-year anniversary? I mean, if this is going to be in 2026 somewhere in St. Louis, and yes. He's already telling us about it. There's actually a writing contest for kids, too, but that's not in there. That's
yes, it. Well, he's creating something called Task Force 250. And he's actually appointed himself and J.D. Vance as the two chairmen of this. And they are enlisting several government officials, like the Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Treasury. You can go on and on. People to be involved in this effort. And what they're going to do is try to dig out what really is the true history of America so that we can accurately reflect this. And when we get to this 250th anniversary in St. Louis, I think it's going to be replete with all kinds of stories, recreations of American history. And I just think that it's going to be a balanced showing of what American history is and not this grievance stuff that's going on now.
Well, one that Bruce and I are going to be there, we'd like to invite you all to join us if we live that long in July of 2026, which will be that 250th anniversary. You'll hear me talking more about that because I'm pretty excited about it.
Nobody puts on a show like Donald Trump.
It's the truth.
when we were at Mount Rushmore back in before the last or before the 2020 election, it was absolutely spectacular when he came out and they did their rally at the face of the presidents at Mount Rushmore. It was absolutely amazing. And I know this will be the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it will. It will be wonderful. So, hey, honey, thank you for joining me. And so before we go, I need to thank our sponsor. I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they help you figure out how to spend your money in a way that you are expressing your values. And they teach you to discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.